यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनतीरावनचारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नारायणं नमस्तुभ्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपाकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् 12th कैंटो 3rd चैप्टर चैप्टर एंटाइटेड भूमि गीता टेक्स्ट नंबर 43 कलौ नराजन् जगतां परं गुरुम् त्रिलोकनाथानतपादपङ्कजम् प्रायेणमर्त्या भगवन्तमच्युतम् यक्षन्ति पाषाण्डविभिन्नचेतसा कलौ न राजन् जगतां परं गुरुम् त्रिलोकनाथानतपादपङ्कजम् प्रायेण मर्त्या भगवन्तमच्युतम् याक्षन्ति पाषाण्डविभिन्नचेतसा कलौ न राजन् जगतां परं गुरुम् त्रिलोकनाथानतपादपङ्कजम् प्रायेण मर्त्या भगवन्तमच्युतम् ಯಾಕ್ಷಂತಿ ಪಾಷಾಂಡ ವಿಭಿನ್ನ ಚೇತಸ. Kalau, in the age of Kali, na, not, Rajan, O King, Jagatam, of the universe, Param, the Supreme, Gurum, the spiritual master, Triloka, of the three worlds, Natha, by the various masters, Anata, bowed down to Pada Pankajam, whose lotus feet, Prayena, for the most part, Martya, human beings, Bhagavantam, the personality of Godhead, Achyutam, Lord Achyuta, Yakshanti, they will offer sacrifice. Pashanda, by atheism. Vibhinna, diverted. Chetasa, their intelligence. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, in the age of Kali, people's intelligence will be diverted by atheism, and they will almost never offer sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master of the universe. Although the great personalities who control the three worlds all bow down to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, the petty and miserable human beings of this age will not do so. Purport. The impulse to find the absolute truth, the source of all existence, has motivated philosophers, theologians, and other intellectuals of various persuasions since time immemorial, and continues to do so today. However, soberly analyzing the ever-increasing plurality of the so-called philosophies, religion, path, ways of life, and so on, we find that it is almost causes the ultimate objective is something impersonal or formless. But this idea of an impersonal or formless absolute truth has serious logical flaws. According to the ordinary rules of logic, a particular effect should directly or indirectly embody the attributes or nature of its own cause. Thus, that which has no personality or activity cannot hardly be the source of all personality and all activity. Our irrepressible proclivity to philosophize about the ultimate truth often expresses itself through philosophical, scientific, and mystical attempts to discover that from which everything emanates. This material world, which is a seemingly limitless network of interactive causes and effects, is certainly not the absolute truth. Since scientific observation of the material elements indicate that the stuff of this world, material energy, is endlessly transformed into different states and shapes. Therefore, one particular instance of material reality cannot be the ultimate source of all other things. We may speculate that matter in some shape or other has always existed. This theory, however, is no longer attractive to the modern cosmologist, such as those at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And even if we do posit that matter has always existed, we still must explain the source of consciousness if we want to satisfy our philosophical impulse towards discovering the absolute truth. Although modern empirical fanatics state that nothing is real except matter, everyone commonly experiences that consciousness is not the same kind of substance as stone, pencil, or water. Awareness itself, in contradistinction to the objects of awareness, is not a physical entity but rather a process of perception and understanding. While there is ample evidence of the systematic interdependent relationship between matter and consciousness, there is no rigid empirical evidence whatsoever that matter is the cause of consciousness. Thus, the theory that the material world has always existed and is therefore the ultimate truth does not scientifically or even intuitively explain the source of consciousness, which is the most fundamentally real aspect of our existence. Furthermore, as demonstrated by Dr. Richard Thompson of the State University of New York at Binghamton and confirmed by several Nobel laureates in physics who have praised his work, the laws of the nature governing the transformation of the matter simply do not contain sufficiently complex information to account for the inconceivable complexity of events taking place within our own body and those of other life forms. In other words, not only do the material laws of the nature fail to account for the existence of consciousness, but they cannot explain even the interaction of the material elements at complex organic levels. Even Socrates, the first great Western philosopher, was disgusted with the attempt to establish ultimate causality in terms of mechanistic principles. The heat and luminosity of the sun's rays demonstrate to the satisfaction of any rational man that the sun, the source of the rays, is certainly not a dark, cold globe, but rather a reservoir of almost unlimited heat and light. Similarly, the innumerable instances of personality and personal consciousness within creation are more than adequate to demonstrate the existence somewhere of an unlimited reservoir of consciousness and personal behavior. In his dialogue, Philebus, the great philosopher Plato, argued that just as the material elements in our body are derived from a vast reservoir of the material elements existing within the universe, our rational intelligence is also derived from the great cosmic intelligence existing within the universe. And this supreme intelligence is God, the Creator. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, many leading thinkers cannot understand this and instead deny that the absolute truth, the source of our personal consciousness, has consciousness and personality. This is as reasonable as saying that the sun is cold and dark. In Kali Yuga, many people present cheap stereotyped arguments such as, if God has a body or personality, he would be limited. In this inadequate attempt to logic, a qualified term is falsely presented in a universal sense. What really should be said is, if God has a material body or a material personality like those we have experienced, he would be limited. But we leave out the qualifying adjective material and make a pseudo-universal assertion. if we understand the full range within total reality of the bodies and personalities. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures teach that the transcendental form and personality of the Absolute Truth are unlimited. Clearly, to be truly infinite, God must not be only quantitatively but also qualitatively infinite. Unfortunately, in our mechanistic industrial age, we tend to define infinity only in its quantitative sense, and thus we fail to notice that an infinity of personal qualities is a necessary aspect of infinity. In other words, God must have infinite beauty, infinite wealth, infinite intelligence, infinite humor, infinite kindness, infinite anger, and so on. Infinite is an absolute, and if anything we observe in this world is not contained somehow or other within our conception of the absolute, then that conception is of something limited and not of the absolute at all. Only in Kali Yuga are there philosophers foolish enough to proudly define the most absolute of all terms, God, in the materialistic relative ways, and then declare themselves enlightened thinkers. No matter how big our brain may be, we should have the common sense to place it at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone to Srimad Bhagavatam class. For last 1 week we have been hearing about the glories of the holy name. So very wonderful discussions and presentations were there. And now we are back to our regular series of Srimad Bhagavatam classes, where in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, Bhumi Gita. Just a quick recap after the description of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. The Parikshit Maharaj further asks about the Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about the further what happens in the Kali Yuga. The first chapter there was degraded dynasties of the Kali Yuga, second chapter various qualities of Kali Yuga, and in the third chapter from the Parikshit Maharaj's question of what happens in various yugas, Sukadeva Goswami explains various yugas, the qualities of various yugas, and the Kali Yuga in especially is described in very detail. And now we are towards the end few verses where the qualities of Kali Yuga has been described. How the various ashramas, dharmas are been degraded, that has been explained. And here on the 43rd and 44th verse, the main cause of all those degradation, that people are not surrendered to the Supreme Lord, that is being presented over here. Just thinking, like, there are various narrations of Bhagavatam that which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself. First, the Lord Himself narrated Bhagavatam to Brahmaji in four words, and then Brahmaji narrated Bhagavatam to Narada Muni in the second canto. And Narada Muni gave one small glimpse of that to the Vyasadeva. And in third canto, we know there is one more narration. Lord Sankarshan teaches Bhagavatam to four Kumaras. And four Kumaras in turn teach to Sankhyayana Rishi, and from there to Parashar, and then to Maitreya Rishi, and then Maitreya Muni is explaining to Vidura. So there are various narrations that which have happened of the Bhagavatam. But the current Bhagavatam that we have is the narration that which Shravanakadi Rishis are hearing from Suta Goswami, where Suta Goswami is quoting directly from the discussion happened between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. I was just reflecting, out of all those Bhagavatams, and there is one more Bhagavatam where Uddhava speaks to the wives of Sri Krishna after Sri Krishna leaves this planet in the Vrindavan. So out of all these Bhagavatams, this current Bhagavatam, what we have here, it seems more relevant to the people of Kali Yuga, because the very first questions that Shravanakadi Rishis ask is about what will happen to the Kali Yuga people, how will they be delivered because of various shortcomings that Kali Yuga people have. And in tune with the questions that Shravanakadi Rishis are asking for their concern towards the Kali Yuga people, even the discussion between the Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, also in the Parikshit also asks a lot of questions about what will happen to the future Kali Yuga people. Parikshit Maharaj, being a Vaishnava, he is compassionate towards the people in general, and he knows very well, he has seen the transition from Dwapara Yuga to Kali Yuga. He has actually seen the Kali personified and stopped him. So he can very much relate to what the glorious qualities of Dwapara Yuga was there, at least some qualities, and how the qualities in the Kali Yuga are degrading. So he was asking the more questions of how the Kali Yuga people will be delivered. And answering to all those questions for the concern that Parikshit Maharaj is showing to the Kali Yuga people, Sukadeva Goswami is giving in detail what will really help the Kali Yuga people. And reading to the purports, I just felt like even the purports that Prabhupada is writing to this Bhagavatam is specifically very much relevant to the 21st century, where we can directly relate to with all these modern theories that this Bhaktivedanta purports are speaking. So with this, I just like to speak little bit from the on the purports. So here, in the purport, there is a long discussion how the material scientists are coming up with lot of theories and philosophies, but at the end they are not surrendering to the Supreme Lord. They are not ready to accept or conceive that the absolute truth is a person. So he says, there is irrepressible proclivity to philosophize about the ultimate truth. Like human being is different from the animal that he wants to know what is there beyond ourself. So it is only the human beings who can sit at night and look into the stars and think what is there over there. And the search for absolute truth is there in the human beings. Here the scientists are also trying to search for the absolute truth, and they are trying to come up with a lot of answers with their research. From the time of Newton, Einstein, the scientific theories are being evolving more and more. If you look at the way the scientists they want to deal, their first understanding is that there should be a simple way in which all the laws of this world can be explained. If you look at the Newton's theorems, it can be just taught to a school child. Three laws of the Newton, this is how the whole mechanic work is working. So once Chaitanya Charitamrita was telling that ultimate goal of the scientist is to explain the entire material phenomena in one small equation, that which can be written on the t-shirt. Like most of the people, they write E is equal to mc square, as if that one equation defines entire creation, what is happening over there. But what scientists really find when they're searching for the reality is, the reality is becoming more and more complex. Initially they thought it is only atoms. When the atom is bombarded, there is electron, proton, and there is meson, boson, so many subatomic particles are going on to come. So the scientists want to explain this in most simple terms, but their research itself is taking to a place where the universe is becoming more and more complex. It is more complex at the atomic level, it is more complex at the cosmic level. So at the cosmic level, they are coming up with a theories of dark energy and dark matter. They say that, what is this dark energy and dark matter? They say more is unknown than what is known. So basically they are telling that we don't know. It is that ultimately they just commented that only 5% of the universe is what they know. So this is about the physical laws. When they are trying, they are reaching more and more complexities. And one more bigger problem that they always face is how to explain the consciousness. Somehow this consciousness doesn't fit in any of the material or mechanistic laws. In the words of scientists, they say that what life makes so hard for physics to study, anything that's alive is far from equilibrium, as the physicist put it. So the life is just the opposite. A plant, for example, absorbs sunlight and uses this energy to make complex sugar molecules. So the scientists are confused, like the life doesn't react the way the rocks, stones, or other like pencil, water, or the purport is speaking over here. It says it organizes itself into very amazingly complex things. The life has that capacity, and that challenges the scientist. So just reflecting, what really makes, so why can't scientists really accept that let the universe be complex and let us understand the universe as a complex phenomena. But the moment we take something as very complex, when it is the universe, and while talking about the consciousness, we say something it cannot be understood completely. One big problem comes is you cannot control it to complete extent. I just had one personal experience, like also coming from the scientific engineering background. So in the initial Krishna consciousness, we just tell like other religions explain the whole creation in very simple terms. Other religions just explain like, let there be light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be earth, and there was earth. And then we present that Bhagavatam goes into more details of explaining how the whole creation has happened. And by the mercy of the temple authorities, we had the opportunity to study Bhagavatam in detail in 2 years of Vidyapeeth. So while going to the second canto, third canto, where the whole creation is going on, I was also excited. Oh, I will know the whole creation in detail. And there was a whole discussion, long details, how from Pradhan, Mahatattva, and then three modes, from modes various elements. Lot of details are given. And our Balaram Srithi Prabhu, he has just made all those details in one A4 sheet and just presented it as one flowchart. This is what entire Bhagavatam is speaking. But one thing I felt at the end of the whole discussion is, this is just adding names and numbers, that's all. So the Bhagavatam says, from the ether the air comes, but there is no detail how it comes. And the Bhagavatam says it comes because of the touch of the Lord. And the what Bhagavatam is trying to tell is, Bhagavatam is not trying to explain the process of the whole creation so that we can replicate it, but Bhagavatam is emphasizing on the fact that it is the Lord who is actually making the whole creation happen. So one scientific mindset of looking would be like, generally the scientists or the engineers, they want to look at an object, study how it works, and then replicate it to learn it. Suppose a person is going to the medical college or engineering college and learns for the whole semester and comes back and just says, oh, I just understood that the teachers are so great. If you are able to do something, no, I will not be. If the person says, I cannot create or I cannot design anything or I cannot treat the patient, so that is not considered as a proper study. So when the scientists, they look, they are looking from the point of where we can know it to the level that we can, we ourselves do it. But Bhagavatam says the whole creation is so complex and beyond any human control that it is not possible. And this is what the scientific world would say, no, this we cannot accept. They want to learn so that everything they will understand, and ultimately things will be under their control. So scientists want to control, but the Bhagavatam says it is not possible. Like, we know that we are all the energies of the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, where it is explaining the Purushottama Yoga, Purushottama Prapti Yoga, 15th chapter, 16, 17, 18 words, it explains about the three levels of Purushas, the Kshara, Akshara and the Purushottama. The Bhagavatam, it keeps the Supreme Personality of Godhead at a level which is completely separate from the living entities, whether they are perfected or not perfected. And ultimately, the thing that the Supreme Lord can do is no other living entity can do. So once we accept it and then surrender to the Supreme Lord, then there is a proper possibility of understanding. But as the purport, as the translation over here says, but the petty and the miserable human beings of this age will not surrender to the Supreme Lord. That is one thing that the living entities of Kali Yuga does not want to do. So they will be completely always remain in darkness of how this world is being formed. So now, when we say like, well, I don't want to understand the Lord completely, let me just be at whatever stage I am. So Prabhupada in one second canto purport writes, everyone thinks in terms of individual capacity, that this universe which is manifested before us is all in all. And so the scientist in the human society of the 20th century calculates the beginning and the end of the universe in his own way. But what can the scientist know? Even Brahma himself was once bewildered, thinking himself the only one Brahma favored by the Lord. So because thinking in our own capacity and not allowing the higher knowledge from the Lord to come, we will be remain in perpetual darkness. So somebody may say like, okay, let me remain in whatever place I am and just work in whatever knowledge that I know. But if you see that in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, Krishna gives five factors of any action that which are happening. Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pratakvidam vividaksha pratakshyeshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. So out of all these factors, at least the four are little bit in our control. The fifth factor, daiva, which affects everybody's actions and it brings about the reaction, is not in our control. So we may say the daiva is the karma that we have done in the previous life, or daiva is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But one simple understanding is daiva is not something that which is we can put our control on and understand. So Prabhupada writes, so finally it becomes important for everyone to understand the daiva, the supreme cause for our daily activities, for the success of our activities also. So here the translation also says, the acceptance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is done by all the great personalities. He says, although the great personalities who control the three worlds, the great personalities who are controlling all the three worlds are accepting the supremacy of the Lord and they are surrendering to the Supreme Lord. We just see in the second canto of Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni comes and asks about, Narada Muni comes and asks Lord Brahma, from where the entire creation is coming, where it is standing and what is the source of everything. Lord Brahma goes on details of explaining the various elements, how the creation has been done. But as a main point, he just says he is doing everything under the control of the Supreme Lord. And then regarding the Supreme Lord, the Lord says, although I am known as great Brahma, perfect in disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities and I am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities, still I cannot understand him, the Lord, who is very source of my birth. So there, Lord Brahma advises everyone to accept the Supreme Lord and surrender to the Supreme Lord. Such surrender is all auspicious and allows one to perceive all happiness. So Prabhupada writes there, Lord Brahma is known as Pitamaha or Father's Father. A young man consults his experienced father about discharging his duties. So the father is naturally a good advisor. But Lord Brahma is the father of all fathers. He is the father of the father of Manu, who is the father of mankind of all over the universal planets. Therefore, the men of this insignificant planet should kindly accept the instructions of Brahmaji and would do well to surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord rather than try to estimate the length and breadth of the Lord's potencies. So after accepting the supremacy of the Supreme Lord and surrendering to the Supreme Lord, Brahmaji says what he is doing. So he says, let us offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasyavatara karmani gayantihi asmadadayaha. And by accepting the supremacy of the Lord, what they do is they chant the glories of the incarnations and activities of the Supreme Lord. So when we talk about the surrender to the Supreme Lord, when we have to surrender, we just keep our free will aside, our thoughts aside, and act according to the will of the superior. And that really causes a lot of fear, because we have to act not according to our will, but according to the will and plans of others. And now what is going to happen to me will depend on the personality and the nature of the person who is controlling me and instructing me. So that's why there is a lot of discussion, or there are a lot of various religions and various paths also ask everybody to surrender to the Supreme Lord. But most of the religious teachings, they ask the living entity to surrender, because if one does not surrender, one will suffer. But the way the Bhagavatam inspires one to surrender is by showing the qualities of the Supreme Lord. And in the purport also, this the disciples of Prabhupada, they write, the Lord is infinite, not just in the quantitative sense, but also in the qualitative sense. When we say God has infinite power, so that is about one quality having the infinite nature. But like that, God has so many other qualities also. Infinite beauty, infinite wealth, infinite intelligence, and so on. And the discussion of those qualities will give faith to the living entities that this person is really worthy of surrender. I just remember one instance from Ramayana, when Lord Ram and Lord Lakshman, they meet Hanuman in the Kishkinda for the first time. Lord Ram asks Lakshman to explain about themselves to Hanuman. And then Lakshman detailedly explains that Lord Ram is the son of Dasharath and so on, what all happened, how he has been come to forest and how his wife has been abducted and he is searching. But when he comes to explaining about himself, the Lakshman says, I have come as a servant seeing the wonderful qualities of Lord Ram. So basically the acharyas there they mention that the Lakshman is attracted by the qualities of the Lord Ram, and by that attraction he is decided to serve Lord Ram, and he has come there. He doesn't say over there like, I am also the great son of the great Dasharath. He just introduces himself like that. Basically there are, we say there are four motivations for which a person to act: the fear, desire, duty and love. The fear can come when we see somebody who is more powerful and he is exerting his power, and desire is when we are shown something that we will get, and duty is when we feel grateful to what we have already received. And the love, it will come when we see the wonderful qualities of the person and start appreciating that. So throughout the Bhagavatam there is a lot of wonderful qualities that which has mentioned. And also one more thing about surrendering to a person: the various doubts that can come in a mind is like, does the person really know me in full? Like you go to a doctor and the doctor, you are expected that the doctor will properly diagnose you and then he should be able to give a treatment. If we have a doubt in the diagnosis of the doctor, then we cannot put full faith on the doctor. Similarly, we should have full faith that the doctor knows what is the treatment to be really given to the particular patient. We should have the faith on the capabilities of the person who is giving the treatment and here the shelter. And also, we should also have a confidence that the person knows about me, the person has the capacity to help me, but the person is really willing to help me. Is he ready to extend himself to come and support and give shelter? So in the Bhagavatam, so to answering to these three levels of questions, various qualities of the Lord, it shows Lord fully fits and answers all these concerns of a living entity when he wants to surrender. In the 11th canto, Uddhava speaks one verse: Tasmad bhavantamanavadhyamanantaparam sarvajnamishwaramakunta vikuntadishnam nirvinnadir muhurah ahamuhe vrajanabhitapto narayanam narasakam sharanam prapadye. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes lot of qualities about Krishna which makes him perfectly suitable for taking shelter. First he said he is anavadyam, he is perfect. So Krishna is faultless. We may be attracted by the good qualities of a particular man or demigod, but we may later discover discrepancies in that person's behavior. Therefore Krishna is described as anavadya. There is no discrepancy in the perfect conduct or character of the personality of Godhead. He is eternally faultless. So Krishna himself does not have any faults. And then Uddhava says, Krishna is anantaparam. Krishna is not limited by the time and place. The Prabhupada writes, we may faithfully serve a master, father or demigod, but when it is time for us to receive our reward or faithful service, the master may die. Therefore, Lord Krishna here described as Anantaparam, which indicates that he is not limited by the time or space. So after taking shelter and serving, there is no question that Krishna will not be able to return back. And then Krishna here is described as Ishvara. Krishna can protect. So the purport says, if we take shelter of our nation may be destroyed in the war. If we take shelter of our family, they may also die. And as described in the Vedic literature, even the demigods are sometimes defeated by demons. But since Lord Krishna is described here as Ishvara, or the supreme controller, there is no danger of his being overcome or even impeded by other powers. So he says, Krishna is completely capable of rewarding for our surrender properly. And regarding the knowledge of Krishna, Uddhava here mentions the word of Sarvajnam. Sarvajnam is omniscient. He knows completely everything. And one nice more meaning given to the Sarvajnam is, he is also grateful. So Krishna knows what we are going through, and Krishna also knows what all services that we are doing. So this, if we serve someone other than personality of Godhead, our so-called master may forget our service or become ungrateful. Therefore, Lord Krishna is described here as Sarvajna, omniscient. He can never forget the service of his devotee, and therefore he is never ungrateful. So even in the first canto, 16th chapter, Bhumidevi is remembering Lord Krishna, and she tells about 40 qualities that Lord Krishna possesses. So one of the quality there is the knowledge. And Prabhupada writes in purport, the knowledge has 5 aspects, and one of the aspect is being grateful. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, only fools are ungrateful to their benefactors. The Lord, however, does not require benefit from anyone besides himself, because he is full in himself. Still he feels benefited by the unalloyed service of his devotees. The Lord feels grateful to his devotees for such unsophisticated, unconditional service, and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service, although the devotee also has no such desire in his heart. So like this, Krishna has the capacity, and Krishna also has the willingness to reciprocate back to even a small service that a living entity is doing for him. So these qualities of the Supreme Lord should give us a faith that by surrendering to Supreme Lord, one will not be unduly controlled by someone, or one will not be exploited by some higher force which we don't know. So in the commentary to this Bhagavatam, in this verse, Jiva Goswami says that all the faults of this world, all the faults of this Kali Yuga are nullified by the chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan. And here these two verses, 43 and 44, they just say that how because of the atheism, people are not ready to take to the Sankirtan movement. So there are a lot of faults of this Kali Yuga, but discussing of all those faults, the faults are not going to get reduced. The only solution is, when we discuss about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and then understand his qualities, and then slowly develop a desire to serve the Supreme Lord. So this I would like to end here. In just a summary, you have just seen that the current age Kali Yuga people does not want to surrender to the Supreme Lord, and modern scientists, they are coming up with various philosophies and theories why we need not surrender to the Supreme Lord, where the Supreme Lord is not there. But still they are all being baffled in their attempts, so better we surrender without much. And some of the inhibitions that somebody may have for surrender is, what will the person, who is the person to whom I am surrendering? So by reading Bhagavatam and reading the qualities of the Supreme Lord, we will get faith that the person to whom we are surrendering is worthy of the full surrender. So this I would like to stop here. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. Please forgive me if I have spoken anything beyond our realization, and please bless me so that I can also show some surrender. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.